Opinion Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon and welcome to Guardian 96.9 FM, and the show you're listening to is Nailed It. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Deborah Deal.
And we are your hosts for today. We want to get this show started right away with giving you out the phone numbers. Numbers you could call in to participate in the show today is 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and from our wonderful, beautiful family islands, you can call in using the numbers 242-300-5720, and for persons who are ready to text and join the conversation, you can do so using our BTC Power text line is 422-4796. And so we started the show today, like we usually do, with something that I found from one of our great leaders that has passed away, and I'd like to share it with the listening audience. So permit me a couple of seconds. It kind of creates the foundation of our thought process before we get into our things about construction and everything else, because I believe leadership is all related to construction, because the construction person leads the building of everything. It doesn't lead him. I've never seen a piece of 2x4 lead me. Debbie, have you ever seen a piece of 2x4 move?
No.
No, you direct it. You make it do what it wanted
you
to do. So this is about leadership.
Mm-hmm. No one can make you a leader. That's why leadership is not a product of training. You ain't get what I'm talking about yet. You cannot go to a college and learn how to become a leader. You cannot take a course and become a leader. Leaders become leaders when speaks into them a vision. A leader is a hard man to kill, because someone breathed life into him, and it wasn't you. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. The source of leadership, it's inspiration. And inspiration is breath from God that brings life to your soul. Your spirit becomes inflated with something that makes you passionately willing to die for what you see. You ain't a leader until you're ready to die for what you see. If things get tough and you quit, you're not a leader. You're influenced by somebody else. A leader doesn't have a job. His life is his career. Oh, I'm getting excited here today. Leaders don't work for people. Oh, glory. When a man becomes a leader, he suddenly becomes independent of people.
Yes, yes, yes. Lots of good nuggets in there. Mm-hmm. And I found that because it was in response to yesterday, Debbie, when we were at the contractor certification course, and yeah. I was giving my closing remarks, and somebody had asked, you know, the challenges that the VCA, you know, an organization that NGOs go through, why do we continue? Because we believe passionately in licensing for contractors. In my closing remarks, I said, the BCA exists solely for the advancement of the best practices in construction. Our tagline on our website is building a better Bahamas. That's why we exist. That's mm-hmm. it. So our work will continue. It may not have the face of Debbie Deal, Leonard Sands, or the many other executives and board members over the last 70-odd years who have graced the halls of leadership of the Bahamian Contractors Association, but the organization will persist mm-hmm. until its ends is achieved, until the goals and objectives of this organization achieve, until we advance best practices in construction in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. That is a segue into what we're going to talk about today. That is why this show exists. We are sharing the message that we believe that this construction thing that we all love and enjoy is good, but can be better. We believe that people do great work, but it can always be better. And we believe that there's a whole generation of young people who could do it better than us mm-hmm. if we train them, if we equip them, and give them the passion to see this thing the way we see it.
And you know what's I find different about construction than most other careers is you're very passionate about what you do.
Yeah.
There's always passion yeah. in everything that you do.
It's a craft to it, that's why.
Yeah, and it's how you deal with your clients, it's how you deal with your subcontractors, it's everything, and it's all intertwined. I can't explain it better than that, but we're all very passionate about what we do.
And I think passion is necessary. If you're going to be in something for a long time, you have to have mm-hmm. passion. You know, the course yesterday, and I want to talk a couple of minutes about it. Debbie, you know, you could certainly talk about your experience that you had mm-hmm. in the course. One of the things that I gleaned from it is as I glanced across the room and I saw so many faces of people I knew, not only knew, work with, currently work with, who sacrificed their time to sit inside the training opportunity for 3 days. Mm-hmm. It showed commitment. Mm-hmm. It is not easy for a business owner to take away.
It was a challenge to take 2.5 days off. I swear it was.
To do it. And you say 2.5, but 2.75 because you left after 3.
Yeah.
So that's not 2.5. Well, the day is almost done.
Yeah. But I mean, it is difficult.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. So you have to appreciate the sacrifice that people made. But I believe everyone recognized the importance of it. They made the necessary sacrifice.
And it was such a cross-section of persons. It wasn't just all persons in construction.
No.
It was a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
It was great. And you know what? Everybody, no one was afraid to talk and put up their hand and ask questions and tell stories and stuff, which I love that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get, everybody's too shy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll always be the first one to go just to get people going.
Nice.
But boy, it didn't take long.
Yeah. And it's because I think people are beginning to understand the need for our collective story to be shared when it comes to construction mm-hmm. and how we advance the space of construction. I think sometimes we are too binary, even in our conversations about construction. What I mean by that is we still relate to construction in the way that, Debbie, you have a project going on this weekend. But we don't appreciate that years from now, the inhabitants of that space would only be able to do that because Debbie Deal existed to interact with that space on this weekend. If you don't exist, that doesn't happen the way you're going to do it. It may happen, mm-hmm. but not the way Debbie Deal's going to do it. So you're affecting someone else's either enjoyment or appreciation of the space because you exist and you're going to do this work this weekend, which happens to be a birthday weekend, and you're still going to sacrifice to get the thing done. So that's pretty special, Debbie.
There you go.
But that's a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, I worked Saturday, Sunday, had deadlines, had to meet. That's construction. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know if all of us, even the participants in the space, understand the unnormal level of dedication we have to the thing. Because mm-hmm. it's not normal. I could tell you the banks are closed. No one's working in the bank on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. No one's in there working. Mm-hmm. Now, you may have the IT person who had to go troubleshoot something with an ATM machine. But generally, everything else is closed. But I went randomly on a job site in Carmichael Village where they're building the community houses. Mm-hmm. Contractors up on the roof. Shingling.
Yeah.
Someone was inside doing drywall. It was Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what it takes sometimes.
Because we have deadlines that we want to meet, right? We want to meet payroll.
Yeah.
So you know that you have to finish this stage before you, and it's not finish the stage today and get paid in the morning.
No.
No. You've got to do your paperwork. All of that's got to be done. Everybody's got to do their inspections, and then you get paid. So it can't just be a 7 to 4 Monday to Friday business. And if that's what you're thinking when you get
don't get into it.
Don't do it. Okay.
We got a caller. Let's take this call and see what they have to say. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yes. Good day.
Good day.
I'm a builder, right?
Yes, sir.
I have a serious concern, right?
Go ahead.
I'm very concerned about
Say that again. You're very concerned about
the Bahamian labor force.
Oh, the Bahamian labor force. Yeah. Yes.
I work like for a long time. I refused to work with immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. But I had an experience. I had experience of working with immigrants lately, right? And when I worked with them, the reason why I quit. Right back.
Mm-hmm.
You know the greatest reason issue is
the
language barrier.
Yes, and that is a significant impediment to easy flowing of work. If you can't understand language barrier, you can't understand what they're saying to you, and they can't understand what you're communicating to them.
Well, and again, right. I don't even want. And this is not, I'm not going to make it sound terrible, but I don't really want somebody on my job site that does not understand me, because if I'm explaining safety hazards, right, and things that could go wrong, and the person has no idea what I'm saying, how's that going to work?
Yeah.
How is that going to work?
Production.
Yeah.
You know, and I talk to them, but you have guys come on the job city, it's Mason, but they... Mason is a universal language. You know, steelwork is a universal language. Mm-hmm. Music is a instrumental is a universal language. You know, there's no excuse to tell me that you can do things if you work in a different place. There's no excuse.
No.
Yeah.
And unless they weren't properly trained. And again,
they're not mechanics.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
that's the challenge.
Floor, concrete finishing is concrete finishing in every language.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and you know, I experienced in the last 2 days seeing an 18-year-old how to tie a mat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a steel mat. How to tie a steel mat in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And every day improvement.
Improvement.
But I tell them it's like a dance. You have to, you know what I mean, like learning a new dance or playing a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mimic what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Every step. Mm-hmm. Every movement. You see, and it happened. And it ain't a matter. And then by doing that, he can carry his load.
Yeah.
And I pay him $10 an hour. He started at $10 an hour.
Yeah, that's good money.
Mm-hmm.
Once he's on the job, I put a tool in his hand. I don't need an assistant watching me. I don't need a security guard or a bodyguard. You don't come on my job to watch me. You know, as a mason, you don't bring a helper on my job to watch you.
No.
You must be busy at all times. Rest comes naturally. You see, and you know what happened to the young Bahamian guy, 18, you know what happened to him?
What? Go ahead.
After 2 days, he quit. You know what? Because of the sun, the heat.
That sun don't play.
No.
I mean, he didn't show up, and I could assume that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It don't play.
Yeah.
But that's construction.
And you know that the immigrants, they realize that there are no Bahamians out there.
They do.
And you know they... You know the going rate for Haitian help is today?
I have a good $80
idea.
$80
a day.
$80 to $100.
That's $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
But they are the dominant labor suppliers to the construction space now. They are.
You know that. And then you said they. I see. Contractors get hold hostage. You know that. You know what my philosophy is? I learn to work by myself. I don't care how heavy the load is by myself. I use my mind over the matter. You know, balance is important. I use two horse to balance a heavy 11-foot, 12-foot column onto a mat. You understand me? I work by myself until the helper come.
Mm-hmm.
Or till they, you know what I mean? You come for a day, you come for 2 days, I work with you.
Mm-hmm.
I teach you, you know what I mean? I develop you, whatever it is. You see? Mm-hmm. That's how I learn today. I don't depend on, see, because when you come to work for me, you come to work for you. I don't expect to make any money of your labor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, because I work with tools in my hand. I supervise the carpenter, the mason. You understand? I can supervise the electrician, the plumbing, I talking and doing things myself with my hands and the tools. So you come on my job or you can develop.
I think another problem that we have is that so many of the persons out there that are claiming to be contractors don't really understand the business of being a contractor. And they don't really understand each of the skills. So when a new person comes on the site...
Mm-hmm.
How are they going to get trained if that person doesn't really know the industry properly? I mean, we learned a lot. I got to be honest. I am so glad I took that course. Even though I've been building for 44 years, it's refreshing to go through all of those same things and realize how important each one of them is.
Yeah.
And realize that so many of the persons that are out there now are not doing any of that.
Yeah. Debbie, thank you, Carla, for your contribution.
Yes, thank you so much.
To that point, it's, and I said this to the question that was asked at the end of the course. They asked, "What does this mean now that we did this course? You know, what is the value of this?" And I said, "Well, first off, you have a considerable amount of knowledge." Over someone who didn't do the course. That's the first thing. Secondly, in the space now, you could proudly say, I'm certified as a building contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone would argue, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Well, I'll tell you what. I always take it from, and I said it to the group, let's start with zero. Right now, the requirement to evidence anything at all that you're a building contractor. So let's start at zero. That means tomorrow, if John Doe wants to be a building contractor, he goes down to Carmichael Road to Inland Revenue Department, fill out an application form for a business license for a construction company, pay the prescribed fee, and gets a business license for a construction company. You have a business license for a construction company. He has a business license for a construction company. You both have the same thing. However, you meeting a client and saying that I have the certification from the Bahamian Contractors Association and this individual having nothing, which one of them you think carries more weight in the conversation with the client?
Well, definitely your right hand.
Okay. I only could have, it's just on the face value. So I often tell people, yeah, you could say it may not mean something, tell you, zero against something, something's always
some
more than zero.
Some people are such good talkers, though.
Yeah, but zero, I don't value zero. Yeah. It's the way I look at even effort. If you tell me you know, you didn't show up at all, but you really wanted to be there, and the guy showed up, mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to the guy who showed up.
Absolutely.
That's just, zero is never something that I consider. Mm-hmm. Next caller. Call you live. Go ahead.
This is Sam from the Field Connection. How y'all doing? I've been listening to the show for a while now, and hear a lot about these courses and different. I think that's a great effort. I just wondered for someone in the field who may have not had a chance or opportunity to attend these courses, if you'll package them in a way that we can buy into them on, like, on our
free time.
Is that package? Yeah. You have such a package where you can purchase the course otherwise?
We are, and you know, thank you for that question. That is a common question, mm-hmm. Sure. Because we recognize not only that the availability of persons in Nassau, the availability of the course to be accessible to persons in the Family Island. So the course right now is being developed, and I know, because we had a conversation with John Michael Clark, who presented the course for Veritas Consultants Limited, for distribution online via their module. Mm-hmm. I believe that they will have that because they took the information from the course this time and mm-hmm. collated it. It should be available within the next month or so and then presented to the public, where you can buy the module and go through the course material and take the examination all on your own time. That mm-hmm. is something that we have recognized that it is a prohibiting factor for persons who can pull away for 3 days
right.
to attend the course in person.
And especially for Family Island persons.
And for Family Island yeah. persons.
Because yeah. even though we did the course in Eleuthera, it was a challenge to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you'll see your buy-in quadruple if you package it in such a way.
I agree.
I think people are interested, but, you know, a lot of folks just aren't able to sacrifice the time.
Yeah. So we certainly, yeah. I think that's the next step for the Bahamian Contractors Association and Veritas Consultants. And we did speak about that, yeah.
I'll speak to it when it happens. I look forward to it, and I certainly will be a part of it.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Listen, we going to break? All right. No. Producer Diana, break it. Producer, we are playing with us, man. Producer playing today. Anyway, we're going to take our first break, and we'll be back right after this.
Back to school is almost here. Guardian Media Group is helping you get ready with the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds on Carter Street, Oaks Field. Bring the family for an afternoon of fun, surprises, and all the school supplies your kids need for back to school, like books, pencils, school bags, and everything needed to start the school year off right. It's the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds. Guardian Media Group, informing, entertaining, entertaining and giving back to the people of the Bahamas.
Main purpose for a lot of customers coming in and out these doors is because of the relationship built with them. Once they're comfortable, they could relate to me better.
We don't only sell paint, we sold people.
Some customers need extra patience.
Whatever your paint or patience needs, the entire Sherwin Williams Paints team are ready to show you some good customer service.
Find color in every day.
All right, now the last people after this, either they brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button.
I see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, it doesn't rust.
Uh-huh.
No corrosion. It's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
I go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our Family Island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
The light goes out, the AC stops, the fridge is silent, and your family is left in the dark again.
You don't have to live like this. With a Cat generator from Machinery and Energy Limited, your home stays powered, no matter the storm. Your home, always on, always ready. Visit me-ltd.com or call today, Machinery and Energy Limited, 1 College Avenue, Oaksfield, at 323-5701. Be ready before the next storm hits.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I want to give out the phone numbers again for persons who missed it in the first part of the show. Numbers you could call in are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Family Islanders, you can call in on 300-5720. And BTC Power text line, you could text us on 422-4796. So, Debbie, take it away.
Yes, I'm going to read our sponsor list. Just give me 1 second. I should be able to remember it because it's the same one for the whole month.
Yes, it is the same one.
I don't want to say it wrong. So, here we go. So, first, we're very grateful and thankful for anybody, any businesses and persons that actually, because like Leonard said, we are a nonprofit organ. We are an association. And we...
Not a company. That's an important thing. People need to
realize. Yeah, we're not a company.
We're not a company.
No. So we really appreciate that. And we really appreciate being on the air because 2 years ago when we started this, the first only thing that we really wanted to do was educate persons about the construction industry and make it better. So we're so grateful and thankful for you. So the persons this week are ART Development. That is the fiberglass rebar. CBS Bahamas, we all know CBS Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Sherwin-Williams Paint, M&E Limited, and Bahamas Safety Solutions. So again, thank you so much for having faith in us and trusting us to be on the radio and teach you and anybody else who's listening.
So in continuing our conversation about, this is directly from the comments from the callers this afternoon. Everywhere you go, you will see a significant amount of labor that is from Haitian, Bahamian, or mm-hmm. whatever that means, or persons
Cuban.
Who are Bahamian of Haitian descent, and or whether they are naturalized or other. Mm-hmm. The workforce is predominantly now Haitian slash with the right to work, or persons on work permits or something, but they are the dominant workforce. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not a challenge. The real challenge is you have a language barrier. So you're a business person. You need a workforce of 100 people. 95 of those 100 people will be, have the ability to understand English, most of them hopefully, but some of them may not have a good ability, and then for few of them, they can't communicate to you in the language that you prefer, which is English. Then we can understand you, but they can't speak English.
Right.
So I think the construction, looking 20 years in our future, just looking at the macro of construction, we need to, and we just as well start now. We need to introduce, and I'm going to say it, and people could have the gut reaction, you could call to it, we need to make conversational Creole. Forget you're learning French and Spanish in high schools. Conversational Creole need to be taught. I said it. Leonard Sands, President of the Contractors Association, said it. Because if you go on a construction site, that is the language of dominance on the site. Now, you could say all day, everyone should be able to speak English. Should is a very powerful word that has no meaning to reality. The reality is, you're going to go on a site, and 99.9% of the persons speak Creole. Now, secondly, I saw something interesting, Debbie, and I was going to share it with my BTC, with my contractors board. Carmichael Village, which I often frequent because I have to pass it to go home, and I'm very nosy. So I noticed that there were about 10 in the morning, it was early in the morning, 10 or 15 friends from South America coming off of a truck, setting up one of the house to do some work. They, and I know what they did because I came back 2 days later and said, oh, that's what they're doing. They are doing the EFIS system on top of the house, where you have the dense glass, 2-inch foam, mesh, and stucco, pre-blended.
So kind of like the Bermuda roof things that we see
yes,
here.
But vertically.
Yeah.
It's the same finish that's on the British Colonial Hilton,
right,
and one or two specific places here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they use a building type, which is a heavy gauge metal stud with the dense glass, dense water on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Dense glass water. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back later, it was white because they then installed the foam. Now, what I like about it is that this home will have great insulating quality because they're using
soundproofing as well. Soundproofing, as cooling.
Yes, 2-inch styrofoam. Mm-hmm. I would, though, if I were to recommend or something to the Ministry of Housing, there should be a public education about the building type. So here it is. Debbie, see the photo? They now put the styrofoam on it.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
So it's going to be, it has incredible insulating properties and all the good stuff. But people need to understand that that's not the same thing as the concrete block home.
Right.
It is a different technology. And you have to appreciate concrete block home, which it has possibly more hurricane strength resistance, doesn't have the insulation quality and of this home.
Right.
So there's different things to appreciate.
But that home, if you had a fire, you would end up having a void because
if you get a fire, get to that foam's going to melt away.
Well, the foam will disappear.
So, you know, there's some education that should happen, I believe, because if I sell you this product and you don't know what the product is, you're going to make some assumptions. But you should make assumptions based on information you know. Let's say I bought one of this home, and I decided to put my barbecue grill right next to the home, and I lit my barbecue. Your exterior facade part of it is styrofoam. If it catch fire, that styrofoam is going to melt away,
right?
And you're going to be looking at the dense board. Now, the dense shield is fire rated. So it won't penetrate the dense shield.
Right, but then you still have a void.
But you have the void that you could repair, and you could cut it out and patch it back. But if I know that, then maybe I move my barbecue grill 5 feet away from the home.
Because those persons may have just gone and gotten a mortgage.
Right.
And
they don't know.
They're not yeah. even, they have no idea what materials are being used in
that. Right. So that's only the point I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. I hope there is an information packet. Mm-hmm. Because there are different types of home systems in there. Mm-hmm. This is just one of them. And I would hope that there is an letting them know the type of home they have purchased.
Right.
So, because you know, Bahamians like to make assumptions. They may just assume. They need to appreciate mm-hmm. that it's not.
Yeah.
It looks like it, but it's not.
Right.
It functions similar to it, but it's not.
That's why I'm in the pickle I'm in right now.
Yeah. So you just have to
like
get
something that it wasn't.
Exactly. So I guess that's my only thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to get into going back to a conversation, because I have a meeting tomorrow about labor. And what I found was interesting, Debbie. You know, I often say, you only know what you know.
Until you don't know it.
Until you find out how much you do know.
Yeah.
I did not know that, I knew part of it, but I didn't know to the depth of where we were. So, you know, obviously we talked about the Health and Safety at Work Act 2002,
mm-hmm.
and this is 2026, which means that 24 years ago. How did that come about? What was that a part of? You will be interested to know that that's a part of an ILO convention that the Bahamas
signed
on to.
Mm-hmm.
From ILO Convention 187, which was the framework for it, and then Convention 155, which is our responsibility to create the policy and regulations that the country follows.
Right.
We adopted it
mm-hmm.
In 86, when they created it, 86.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas ratified it in June 2006,
mm-hmm.
this year. And it
2026 or 26?
2026.
Oh, 26.
26,
okay.
Just
okay.
a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And it comes into force June 2027.
Hmm.
So two things interesting about that.
86, 96, 106, 116, 120. 40 years later.
Yeah, but the Bahamas just finally ratified it, 2026 June.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down because I couldn't believe it. Yeah, the 12th of June, 2026, the Bahamas ratified ILO Convention 1C187 and C155. And on the 12th of June, 2027, ILO Convention 187 and 155 comes into force.
And you would not even know that unless you're searching for something.
Unless you're searching for something. But beyond that, it was interesting information that I discovered as well. When, again, you only look for what you're looking for until you find it. There are a number of other conventions that we have signed on to,
mm-hmm.
annexed it.
The Minamata Convention, which is to do with the elimination of mercury.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's another one of them.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Uh-huh. In labor, we have, which I found interesting. Did you know?
Montreal Protocol, all of these.
That the minimum right to work in our country, I thought it was always 18, it's 14 years old.
What?
Yes, that's a convention.
Okay, well, that would mean that persons could work in grocery stores
yes.
and they could work in the mall
yes.
at Christmas time and all
yes.
that legally.
That is legal.
Yes.
I always thought that you had to be at least 18. No, it was 14.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's an ILO convention that the Bahamas have adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a really interesting convention. I'm trying to pull up.
It's nice to know that it's legal as opposed to
yes.
It's just, you know, taking advantage, if you know what I mean, right?
So I'm pulling up the ILO Convention 1981,
mm-hmm.
number C-155, is the core international treaty by the International Labor Organization. It sets up policies for safe workplace places, helps stop accidents and protects worker health. That's what DAMP 5 does. Key goals: make a national plan for safe work, set rules for gear and safe machines, track and report work industries. So there's three goals that the Bahamas now have to create for before this comes into force June 2027. One, make a national plan for safe work. Two, set rules for gear and safe machines. And three, track and report work injuries.
Because that was what was missing in the Labor Act. Because they do say talk
that was
about
just,
safety, but it's
it was just a convention.
Yeah,
right. That was just a
construction and that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff
that was just
would
a convention.
Different type of equipment than somebody who would work in an office.
Yes.
Right. A person who working in an office would need to know where the sprinkler system is, where the fire safety things are, the stairs.
To clarify, Debbie. That was the framework. So ILO Convention number 187, the promotional framework for Occupational Safety and Health Convention 2006, is a fundamental international labor organization treaty. It requires member countries to promote continuous improvements to workplace safety and health by building and maintaining a national policy for national systems and periodic national programs. That is the framework. So what we created was the framework. 155 is the policy.
Okay.
Yes. So we adopted the framework. Yep, we agree with this. We think it makes sense. But 155 is the policy. And that's what we're part of the discussions that we're having, which involves the Bahamian Contractors Association and other industry stakeholders, is crafting and framing the policy. What and the considerations, and this is we're having an example. What should the considerations be for persons working in construction in drywall is different than persons working in construction in landscaping, is different than persons working construction in masonry, is different than persons working construction that electrical
structural
and
steel.
Plumbing. In the part of discussions, It's going to be massive. That's the first thing, to appreciate that the scale of construction can't be linear when you're saying construction. Make sure that people are safe. Safety in the aspect of the guy doing plumbing and safety in the guy who's doing roofing are two different safety. So you just can't say, yeah, the guy should be safe. What is he doing? The first question you should ask, what is the person doing? And what the person is doing creates a different measure of how safety should be addressed based on what the person is doing.
Because everybody could wear steel-toed shoes and everybody could wear a hat, a helmet, a construction hat. But if you're an electrician, there's other things you
need to
be careful of.
There's other things you need to have,
right? Maybe not the steel-toed.
Maybe rubber.
Maybe rubber.
Yeah, see, your things are different.
Yeah.
So that's, and I found that so interesting. Because it recognized the different spaces that construction happens in and how safety has to be different in different spaces. That's just construction. Now, you're talking about at work, in different workplaces. Safety has to be different.
Right.
If I work in a steam press, that's different than someone working in a law firm. If I work in a law firm, that's different than somebody who works in a restaurant. If I work in a restaurant, that's someone who's different who works in a government office, a facility where they're doing a bunch of paperwork.
Or somebody
it's different.
That does water sports.
Yes.
That would be totally different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
somebody who works on a barge.
So all of these things that we don't really generally consider, we need to consider. The Bahamas has ratified 40 international labor ILO conventions, most recently depositing instruments of ratification for three major labor and safety agreements on the 12th of June, 2026. 40 we have ratified. Recent ratifications are 155 and 187. Now, I just wanted to note that because we always think with the Bahamas, and we have a group going off to do this and this and this. What we don't hear a lot is, what did we agree to? We don't get feedback. Okay, y'all run over there and y'all agree to things on behalf of the human people. What did you agree to? I'm not saying nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like to know. Mm-hmm. What did you go and sign me up to? What am I supposed to now know I should be doing?
Well, it's kind of like a lot of the things that I've been involved in over the last, 15 years, 17 years. So you have consultants coming in, right? Now, Jess, Stacia Jennings, who's been on our show many times, mm-hmm. right? She is the person on the ground for the Bahamas for the consultants that are doing things that have to be done for things that we've signed on to, mm-hmm. right? So you just, it's trying to get the general public to understand and know these things.
Know right? the things.
That's
yep.
the thing. To me, you know, if you're on a radio show and you have in between songs, you could say, "Did you know that?" Right?
Did you know? Yes.
You know,
did you know?
If you did you knows all the time, eventually you're going to know,
mm-hmm.
right? People who go to the movies, they should have "Did you know" things on the little clip instead of a cartoon or advertising or whatever before the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about all different kinds of things. You could do the safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about the Minamata Convention. You could talk about all different kinds of things that we have signed into, and let people, the average person who would not be a part of one of these consultancy things,
would get the information about them.
They need to know probably more than we need to know.
Yes.
Because they don't have the opportunities that
exactly.
we have.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that anything.
No.
It's just that they're not in that space.
They're not in that space, so they wouldn't know.
Right.
For example, 40 conventions, ratification for the Bahamas, fundamental conventions, 10 out of 10, governance conventions, priority, 2 out of 4, technical conventions, 28 out of 179. Out of 40 conventions ratified by the Bahamas, of which 27 are in force, 5 conventions have been denounced, 6 instruments abrogated, 3 have been ratified in the past 12 months. And they listed them all and which ones are enforced, which ones what's not. We got a caller. Let's go to the caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. Enjoying the show. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you for calling.
I just want to connect something that you had mentioned earlier. I mean, I was listening when you played the clip about Miles Monroe and talking about leaders.
Yes, sir.
What you were just talking about just now as it relates to what are these people signing us up to?
Mm-hmm.
That's not leadership. If you look at it, all that is that we are voted for individuals, right, who either themselves or they send representative off to these different conferences or whatever they have, these international gatherings, and then they receive protocols. That they had to come back here and implement, and that's their job. Like, they are not, as leaders, they are not implementing their own vision for us. As leaders, they are not looking at the landscape of our country and figuring out for themselves what is the best direction for us, self-determination. Mm. That's not what it's about. And that goes back to something that I'd called you a few weeks ago when you were talking about the regulation board that you guys
yes,
are trying to get.
Construction Contractors Act, to, yes. Mm-hmm. And the board.
And I was saying to you that probably is because of international expectation that they have, that they want to put a board in to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I don't know if you remember me telling you that before. And see, the thing about it that we as a people really need to understand what the job is or the lack thereof that the people we elect do. You understand? Because
mm-hmm.
their job is a part-time job. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're a leader of a country, you've never seen that. Like, you're supposed to be working 24/7. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's amazing how they just got elected the other day and they're on vacation. you understand?
And I mean, do.
And then the only time they're working, you know what I mean, because they have a part-time job is when we see them on TV in their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, see, we want leaders who, like, when they're not in the house on TV, they sitting down, going over data, going over, you know what I mean, stuff, trying to figure out, problem solve, you know what I mean, situations based on the demographics of our country to like assimilate us
to someone
into
else.
Some bigger system
yes.
of things.
Yeah, well, I agree.
You understand? Because, see, because I warned the Bahamian people over and over repeatedly that we have to be aware of these regulation boards that are popping up all over the place, these PPPs or whatever, that are not fully government run. You know what I mean? Because the protocols for those entities are not written by individuals who we elect, nor individuals who are citizens of this country. You understand? Because I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to leave. When the government was setting up IRCA to regulate our communications or whatever IRCA does, right? They had to bring in someone to write the policy and the protocols or whatever objectives for IRCA. And I think that's crazy, because if our government is going to feel that there's a need to bring in a body like IRCA or like any other kind of body, that it should be based on them seeing a need for it and them writing the policies or whatever to suit the demographics of our country, like I said before, as opposed to assimilating us into a bigger system of things. Because like I said before, those individuals who we vote, they do nothing. They don't make any decisions. They don't problem solve. All they do is travel the world, collect marching orders, all of them all over the world, and they come back to their people and they try to assimilate us into this new world, one world government. But I respect you guys, and I hope you guys stand up and that you guys get the regulation thing, and then that we become more aware as a public, and then we begin to demand entities and decisions and judgments and laws based upon our demographics, and that benefit us as a people and not, like I said before, to assimilate us into some system. But I appreciate you guys, and good show. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
Time.
Thank you very
if
much.
If I can make a couple comments from what the gentleman said, is the United Nations have 17 different things that they wanted to get accomplished, remember? Gender equality, fresh water, you know, all these different things, right? I don't have the list with me. Basically, a lot of the things that we are doing here are things that are globally being accepted by countries. So basically, whoever signs into these, like the United Nations or I'm trying to think what else, things that they sign into. And IRCA, again, is a global thing. You know, it's based in Switzerland, right? And it's a global thing. And it's making sure that things that are done on the radio and television, that kind of thing, meet a particular standard, right?
Utilities regulation is global.
The same with all of the things that the UN, that we signed, all exactly the same things. We're trying to be, and we're trying to do it in our own fashion, but we're trying to be what is accepted across the entire world. Because if we don't, we're going to be behind. You know, we need to protect our children. We need to protect the people that are most challenged, like single mothers, elderly, persons that are physically challenged, you know, that kind of thing. These are the kind of things that need protection. And this is basically why we sign into all of these things. It's not like we're trying to bring something, you know, fish and chips wrapped in newspaper like you do in England. We're not doing that.
Fish and chips wrapped in newspaper.
You know what I'm saying? But we're basically just trying to get up to being a first world country and abiding by to protect our citizens and our country.
In our country.
In these all of these things, rather than ignoring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, Devin, and that's important for you to note for public to understand that we have a responsibility as the Bahamas and all governments do to be a part of these international organizations that help to develop global standards for things. But the caller's point was that we also need to do a better job of defining for the Bahamas what we'd like to do in other spaces. It doesn't have to be in labor, because labor is general, right? But in spaces where we have to think about the direction of our country, I really don't care if another country doesn't have life practice we should have. Mm-hmm. We're a developing nation, the first place off North America. Mm-hmm. We see millions of tourists. Mm-hmm. We do billions of dollars in construction. Mm-hmm. It is amazing that those two factors alone are not enough for us to have licensing, considering we're the place that people come most and most frequently to engage in stuff. Like, we're the place you're going to come to first. And we should have licenses.
And except for a homeless person that generally will sleep in at nighttime, every single human being is in a building or on a road or on a dock or something to do with construction. Tell me, sidewalks are construction. Yeah.
And that's our fundamental challenge where we're trying to understand with the contact, it's about contact, how many times you have to engage in something related to construction and the risks associated with poor construction happening, or something it hasn't happened yet, but the opportunity for something serious to occur because you didn't take it as serious as you need to, but you wouldn't have that risk to consider if you had to be licensed. For that not to be enough for the people responsible to say, hey, this is one area that we have to ensure that we license for the protection of the public, I still am stymied by the lack of engagement on getting the board in place and the licensing regime.
I still think about the R.M. Bailey when that roof came down. I mean, somebody could have been 10, could have been 20 kids in there.
Yeah. So somehow they're missing the big picture. But I believe that with our continued pressure, and I want to make this point. Someone said to me that, oh, you're the guy who's head of the organization that's fighting the government. I said, correction. We're not fighting the government. The government passed the law. Mm-hmm. So they've already done the thing we want them to do. Mm-hmm. That's not a fight. Mm-hmm. We're encouraging them to complete the work. Mm-hmm. That's not a fight. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that as you and I move in our own spaces, people always view us adversarially against any government that's in power. Mm-hmm. That's not our role. We're not against a government.
No.
We are an NGO that is supporting the government in the policies that they have legislated. We are a part of making the thing work.
We're part of the rest of the Bahamians in this country. Let's say there's 400,000 people we are a part of that and trying to get the board chosen so that registration and licensing can be done so that all 400,000 of us can be safe.
That's all. We're a part of that group. That's it.
And
it's not an against.
And we also want to make sure that clients are not taken advantage of and contractors are not. All of that is in the actual act. We're just trying to make sure that these things that the government already passed can be initiated.
That's all it is.
That's all we want. Every single Bahamian in this country.
Yeah,
and we're getting flack.
Yeah, but that's what's so interesting, Debbie. So that on the surface of it, I guess, you know, because of our consistency in presenting the message, we are perceived as against, but the core desire is in assisting the government to complete the work that they began. If this were us who had a position opposite to it, then it's against. We are in the same agreement. This is no against. We are in agreement with the government's decision to create the Construction Contractors Act. We agree.
Yeah, if we were against them doing that, we wouldn't have said like anything. This. We wouldn't even talked about that. We'd be talking about more other things that we could talk about.
No, like, we are in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But part of what I listened to yesterday, which was interesting in the course, which I really wish we had 500 people in the room, because the persons who were there, all 50 of them, got nuggets that I wish everyone knew. Mm-hmm. But you missed it, and you got to wait for the next opportunity until we get this thing online, and you can take it anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. But they understood that now you have to consider health and safety. Mm-hmm. You also have to consider what happens when things go wrong, when you should stay away from litigation and move towards arbitration and mediation. Mm-hmm. They now know that. Debbie, you know that. You've always known that, but you know other people now know it. I don't write contracts anymore. Require litigation. Mm-hmm. Only write contract would require arbitration. Mediation or arbitration. I do not desire to litigate.
Either.
Not interesting. So mm-hmm. if you try to litigate it with me, you won't go far because you have to arbitrate and mediate it.
Right. And the thing is...
That's the only contracts I write. I do not desire to be in litigation.
And you could talk to every single person, even somebody that's maybe 12 years old in mm-hmm. this country, and they know that the courts are full. And it takes forever. For anything to happen. Yeah. It could take 10, 15, 20 years for something to happen.
Yes.
Why do you want to get mixed up in that system?
Yeah.
Do you want to live in your house or do you want to have it grown over before you can even live in your house?
Yeah,
I mean, at some point in time, you have to be real about this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a part of the information that person's got. And mm-hmm. I think, and I said to them in my closing remarks, this is going to change the way you do business moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It should impact the way you do business, Debbie. It should cause you to do things differently.
Actually, for persons who are new to the industry that don't even treat it like a business, they just want to build a house,
mm-hmm.
they're actually going to be running a business.
Running a business.
Instead of just building a house. There's two different, that's two totally different things.
Definitely two different
things. Two totally different things.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you focus on running a business, you'll become really, really good at being a builder.
Yes. Yes, you will.
I can tell you, if you focus
no
on running
choice.
The business,
you have no choice
you'll be really,
but
really
to.
Good
yes.
at being a builder.
Yes.
And staying out of the challenges.
Yes.
And part of the reasons why we have the training courses is we recognize that no one else is creating the space to train contractors. So we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're the body that's training contractors so contractors could be better.
Right.
That's our responsibility, and that's where the BCA takes on the challenge.
And then when you listen to when John Michael was talking to us and teaching us, and everybody said, well, I have a story. You'll never guess what happened to me. And
mm-hmm.
and even though some of them weren't even really in the construction industry, mm-hmm. but they came into these same situations, they were all different.
Yeah. But sharing some of the stories of stuff that happened.
And, you know, it's like in any business, there's always things that happen that are unforeseen.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're a bad contractor.
Stuff happens
that you could never possibly imagine.
Yeah. Caller, we're going to take this call now. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Good evening, Lady Debbie Deb and Valetta.
Hey, how are you, sir?
How are you?
We're
doing
great,
wonderful,
thank
man.
You.
Doing wonderful.
Yes, I'm chiming in because I just started to listen to you a couple of minutes ago. So you said that someone challenged you for fighting the government.
Mm-hmm. They assume that I am.
And you're only trying to enforce a law that they put on the books. You have to remember, and people don't realize that there are many, many laws on the books
mm-hmm.
that the government fails to enforce
mm-hmm.
or follow through with.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is people are trying to run amok on the system or trying to hoodwink and bamboozle their way through. Most of the time, they are political operatives or they are deciding who the government may be at the time or, you know, in that space, then whichever power is in place.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and then those persons who are in government, you talk about what's his name? I call him Rasta, who was talking earlier about these international things that our political leaders sign on for,
mm-hmm.
and they go to these conferences and brings to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that most of the time you find that people in position, lawyers, government officials, politicians, and in some cases judges, just be allowing people of their ilk to be flouting and subverting the statute laws of the Commonwealth of Bahamas
mm-hmm.
because of their, you know, whatever cabal or political clique and faction they may align up with. So what you guys are here doing, and people must find that this show is very, very critical because, like Debbie Deb said earlier, those trust that fall down at R.M. Bailey School it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that, you know, things, when things collapse and, you know, it could have happened with some of our children
mm-hmm.
or grandchildren.
Yeah.
It could have happened,
you know,
the day that the Prime Minister was walking through that. I think it was like 2 days after that or something that it happened. I mean, anybody, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when we elect these people who Rasta, the caller, saying they don't have the skills or they don't take the time to apprise themselves of what right is and what wrong is,
mm-hmm.
and stop taking sides for political mileage and gain. That's why we're suffering with downtown now all day. These people complaining on how much business they lose and how much stuff they lose because of the power that was off from yesterday, you know, in those restaurants, the perishable goods and the business loss.
Yeah.
And it's a bad thing with the tourists down there walking in and out the stores and, you know, not spending money and wondering what's happening. And all the store owners explaining to them that we have a problem in this supposed to be first world city of Nassau. But this is what, I guess, you know, the country voted for three months and how many days ago? 8 days ago?
3 months and 8 days.
Yeah.
3 months and 8 days ago, mm-hmm. and call it progress. You all have a nice evening.
Right.
You have a nice
One thing
evening,
I want everybody out there to know is construction is not political. It has nothing to do with politics. Construction is a trade, it's a business, and it's one of the largest businesses, and it encompasses every single inch of every single island. So that nothing in the Bahamas is not attached to construction in one way or another, whether it's a seawall, whether it's a sidewalk, whether it's a 10-story building. We've gone through this before.
Mm-hmm,
a school,
mm-hmm.
a hospital,
a road.
Hotel,
yeah,
a road.
It doesn't matter.
You know, water, underground infrastructure, you know, water, it's everywhere.
And
it's not political.
No, and it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we used the tagline, construction is everyone's business, like tourism is everyone's business. You know, construction is everyone's business.
Yeah.
I tell you how construction is everyone's business.
Playground equipment.
If for one day, the first day of school is, well, for most of them already started,
mm-hmm.
but when government schools start, which is next week Monday,
mm-hmm.
you know, construction becomes everyone's business. Let there be road work on the major thoroughfare, like a Bluer Road or East Street or Bay Street or a Carmichael Road, and it becomes everyone's business because everyone would be stuck in traffic. But it's construction.
It is.
I was on Prince Charles today,
mm-hmm.
and they was doing road work on striping
mm-hmm.
on the westbound lane and eastbound lane.
So they were down to one lane.
They were down to one lane in both directions. It affected the road. And everyone, doesn't matter who you were, you were impacted by that construction work.
Right.
That's how you have to treat it.
Yeah.
Construction is going to affect you.
Yes.
What we encourage you to do is help us encourage the lawmakers to complete the work so the better parts of construction affect rather than continuing to allow the worst or not so nice parts of construction to affect you the way it is currently affecting
Correct.
You.
Correct. Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, Debbie. We can close with this question.
Okay.
If you were to give me one takeaway from the course that you did the past 3 days, what was that one takeaway?
That a contractor is not obligated to take any job. That a contractor is not obligated to take a job where they're not mobilized. That a contractor should not take any job that there is a risk in.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. Do not let anybody push you into believing that you must risk your life, you must risk
your home,
your finances, your savings. No, we're not obligated to do that. Mm. And I hope that no contractor from this day on will actually do that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, that's been our show. We thank everybody for calling and participating
with
our show.
And we had a new producer.
Yeah, our producer, thank you for the
producer. And he's in construction, too.
He's a bit of everything. But
I know.
He's in the technology and electronic space and a little bit of backyard concrete pouring this weekend.
Yeah.
So we want to thank everyone for participating with the show, and we will see everyone next week. Same time.
Yes.